Blessed day, everyone. Welcome to our midweek study. As we continue our study on the book of Exodus, we find ourselves in the last section of chapter 20. Before we begin, shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and ask for your help as we ponder upon your word. We pray that this would not just be a study wherein we would gain information and knowledge for our heads, but we pray earnestly, Lord, and honestly that we would glean truths, Lord, that we could use by your grace to live out our faith, to live out our call as your people. We pray that indeed all hearts would be focused on you and you alone. We thank you that we can depend on you, and we can ask you to teach us and to preach to our hearts. This is our heart's cry in Christ's most precious name. Amen and amen. So, we are continuing our study on the book of Exodus. The last time we were together, nakita natin yung Ten Commandments. And I pray that you saw the far-reaching implication of each commandment. We said that these are 10 words coming from God Himself spoken to His people. Remember, it was indeed God who spoke those words to the Israelites. Remember chapter 20, verse 1? God spoke all these words saying, and then He gave the 10 wonderful commandments. I cannot overemphasize that this is coming from Yahweh, spoken to His people, no one else, not to anyone else. He gave those 10 wonderful words, and towards the end of chapter 20, yung pagkatapos natin marinig, yung 10 utos na yon, 10 katuruan, 10 mga salita, we read in verse 18, "Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, 'You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die.' Moses said to the people, 'Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of Him may be before you, that you may not sin.' The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was." Ilang mga observations. Nakita natin, the people were afraid. They were fearful of hearing from God Himself, hearing God speak. Deuteronomy chapter 4 gives us an idea why they were afraid. Verse 32 of Deuteronomy chapter 4. Excuse me. "For ask now of the days that are past, which were before you since the day that God created man on the earth, and ask from one end of heaven to the other, whether such a great thing as this has ever happened or was ever heard." Verse 33. "Did any people ever hear the voice of a God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and still live?" So it was God's grace that the people heard God's voice, and they did not die. Ngayon, naintindihan natin kung bakit sila takot. Because they understand that hearing from God would mean death for them. But again, this is God's grace. After reading the Ten Commandments, ano sunod? If we would base our answer to the movies we used to watch when we were kids, diba? Nung mga bata tayo, pag mahal na araw, we would watch the movie, Ten Commandments. Anong pagkatapos nun? Anong mangyari? I think we would say that that was it. And looking at the narrative sa Exodus, tinan niyo po yung Bible niyo, we see that there are still statutes, that there are still ordinances, that there are still commands that God wants to give His people. Terrified ang Israelites, diba? The Israelites were terrified already. That is why we read in verse 19, sabi nila kay Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us lest we die." Sabi sa verse 21, They stood far off while Moses drew near to where God was, telling us that indeed there were more things that God has to say to His people. There are more things. Mayroon pa siyang gustong sabihin sa kanyang mga piniling bayan. Yung Decalogue, yung 10 words, yung 10 commandments was spoken by God Himself. In fact, written by God Himself. The rest of the law, the rest of the statutes, the rest of the ordinances, God would give to His people through Moses, His messenger. In fact, pag silipin niyo yung chapter 24, we would read na si Moses ang sumulat nito. Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. So there's a distinction there. The Decalogue, it was God who spoke to His people. The Decalogue, it was God who wrote on the tablets of stone with His finger. The rest of the law, it was God speaking through Moses because the people were scared already. The rest of the law, it was Moses who was writing it down. So umakyat si Moses. Moses went up and drew near to where God was to hear from God ano pang dapat sabihin, ano pang gustong sabihin ng Panginoong Diyos sa kanyang hinirang. And you would say, isn't the Ten Commandments enough? I say, yes, it is more than enough. But we would see in this section, as we look at the narrative, God would just give implications and applications of the 10 words that He just gave them. If we would be honest with ourselves, diba? Babasahin natin yung Exodus 20, yung 1 to 17, as we read the 10 Commandments. Pero after that, we have the tendency to skip and look for the other more significant events sa Exodus. Sana wag. Kasi we would be missing out. To throw out the next section would mean na sasabihin natin sa sarili natin na wala tayong pwedeng matutunan pa dito. Yes, there are many things that we can learn from this section. Right? And so, to throw this out or to skip this is to miss out on how God would reveal more of Himself, more of His character. So, as we look at the next section, let me remind you, di ba sabi natin sa ating pag-aaral, nung tayo nagsimula ng pag-aaral sa Ten Commandments, that Jesus Himself summarized the 10 into 2. Nakit natin sa structure ng Ten Commandments, there was a structure of 4 and 6. The first 4 is how we love God. The rest of the commandment is how we love our neighbors. That is why when Jesus was teaching, He said, there are only 2 commandments. The greatest is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Ngayon, sa puntong ito, we would see how God would show us how that looks like. Anong itsura ng pag-ibig sa Kanya at pag-ibig sa kapwa na manggagaling dapat sa Kanyang piniling bayan? Listen now as we look at the Ten Commandments, at the 10 words in action. Tingnan niyo yung mga Bible niyo. I want you to look at your Bible or Bible apps. I want you to see the structure. Sa chapter 20, verse 20 to 26, we would see laws, commandments pertaining to worship. Pertaining to worship. Pointing us back to the first 4 commandments. To love God, to worship Him, to have no other gods, and to make no graven images before Him. Diba? If you look at chapter 21, verse 1 to 11, we see instructions about possessing slaves. We see 4 instructions about male slaves, 4 instructions about female slaves. Kung hindi tayo nagdaan sa isa-isang commandment, study on each commandment, and if we did not look at the letter of the law and the heart of the law and the far-reaching implication of the law, looking at the implied opposite, we would think that chapter 21 verse 1 to 11 is just merely instructions for slaves. But what did we learn about the 8th commandment? You shall not steal. Tama? Sabi natin, this is a commandment to not take from your neighbor unlawfully anything that is his. But remember the far-reaching implication? Hindi lang ito nagbabawal ng pagkuha ng hindi iyo. It also includes not giving to a person what is due him. Let me take you back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 22 verse 13. We use this passage when we were looking at the 8th commandment. Sabi sa Jeremiah 22:13, "Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his upper rooms by injustice, who makes his neighbor serve him for nothing and does not give him his wages." So chapter 21 verse 1 to 11, as we look at instructions for slaves, are implications of the 8th commandment to not steal. Right? Chapter 21 verse 12 hanggang verse 32, we would see 16 instructions about conflict, about assault, applying the commandment to not murder. Right? We would see instructions about murder and manslaughter. We would see offenses involving parents, kidnapping, right? We would see instructions on assaulting one another. So this is pointing us back to the commandment to not murder. So tonight, we would look at the first section lang. I don't think we would have enough time, but I want for us to look at that, to see that. The Ten Commandments were given. God himself spoke to the people. He himself wrote it down. But he has more things to say. So Moses drew near where God was. And God spoke to Moses. And Moses was writing it down for the people. And the first thing that he mentions is about worship. About worship. We would see the priority of right, of a holy, of a God-glorifying worship for and from God's covenant people. Look at chapter 20, verse 22 to 26 then. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed on it." This is the section that we'll be looking at. Again, let me re-emphasize this. Kakatapos lang ibigay ang Ten Commandments. And then there are more commandments. And we see God reiterating worship. God's people must worship God alone. Ano sabi niyan? Let's do some observations. The Lord said to Moses, verse 22, "Thus you shall say to the people of Israel, you have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven." Stop. Sabi ganun ng Panginoon Diyos, "I am the one who talked with you from heaven." What is the significance of that phrase? Yung from heaven. Again, let me take you back to our previous study. Remember the terrifying scene sa bundok ng Sinai? Let me remind you. Exodus 19, verse 16. "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings." Thunders, lightnings, hindi lang isa. Plural yun. "Thunders and lightnings in a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blasts, so that all the people in the camp trembled." So, may kulog, may kidlat, may makapal na ulap, and there was a very loud trumpet blast, and the people were afraid. "Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood their stand at the foot of the mountain. the Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. So nag-aapoy, nag-aalab yung bundok. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln. Para daw, para siyang oven. And the whole mountain trembled greatly. It's not just a part of the mountain trembling. The whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. God answered in thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai in the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. It was a very terrifying sight. Again, not to mention the loud, thunderous sound of God's voice. Yet they lived because of God's grace. This is what that phrase, I believe, is saying. You heard me. You saw the terrifying scene as I was about to give you my commandments. I have given you my commandments, and now I'm reminding you that I was the one who spoke to you from heaven. Remember that, and you were not consumed. What grace! What grace! Notice verse 23, after God's reminding them of what happened, that He was the one who spoke from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold. Again, leading us back to the first commandments and the second commandment. You shall not worship, you shall not have other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves graven images, carved images. Now, kung titingnan natin itong talatang ito, some would be saying, yung mga pilosopo, sabi naman dyan, silver and gold lang eh. So, does that mean I can make any images other than those materials? Like, kunyari, wood or chalk or clay or ivory or other precious materials. But again, this is a reiteration already. We heard God say, you shall not make for yourselves any carved image, general. Whatever material that is, you shall not do that. And here, as a reiteration of the second commandment, the first and second commandment, sabing ganun, you shall not make for yourselves, you shall not have other gods before me, right? To be with me, sino ba? Wala. Walang totoong Diyos-Diyosan. Ako lang. And you shall not make for yourselves gods or idols from silver and gold. Now, in their time, may essence bakit sinabi at ba't in-specify yung gold and silver. In their time, as it is in ours, ang mga jewelries or anything that's made of silver and gold are items that are obviously things of legitimate value. Right? Legitimate value. A gold coin is a gold coin. A silver coin is a silver coin. A gold bar is a gold bar. This is not just talking about material, the material that they are made of, these idols, but how they are regarded as precious, as glorious. So, ang implication is this. Even if it's not made out of gold or silver, but if you value that, if you deem that as precious, sabi ni Diyos, wag. Because God would not share His glory with another. Right? They were given the Ten Commandments. God Himself spoke and God Himself wrote it down. They were terrified. Now God is speaking to Moses and through Moses, reminding His people of the evil of idolatry. To not hold them dear as precious. For them not to make an idol out of silver or gold. Yet when we go to chapter 32, we would see that yes, they were afraid, but they were not afraid enough as they worshiped the golden calf. Sabi ng Diyos, do not make any images out of silver or out of gold. And yet we see in chapter 32, these people who have seen God, who has heard God, terrified with the scene, was not afraid enough that they made for themselves a golden calf. Tanong ko sa inyo, as we look at applications for our lives. Are there any precious things or people in our lives more precious to us than God? I pray that we would learn from this people. God, after saying, exposing the evil of idolatry, now goes on and tells his people how he is to be worshipped. That is what we see in verse 24 to 26. We would see reference to altars and sacrifices, and this reminds us of yung study natin sa Genesis, right? All the patriarchs built altars, right? They built altars. And then it's pointing forward to when God would give them instructions with regards to altars and sacrifices and offerings. Sabi rito ng Panginoon Diyos, do not worship pagan gods and do not worship me, the one true God, like the pagans do. And we would see anong difference ng worship na kaaya-aya at kalugod-lugod sa Diyos in contrast to the pagan worship. And we would see four particular differences in their worship. And these apply also to us. Let's look at verse 24. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offering. Talon tayo sa verse 25b. If you make an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. What can we see here? We see a principle of simplicity. A principle of simplicity. Sabi ng Diyos, make for me an altar out of the earth, out of the stone that I created. But do not build altars using hewn stones, yung na-polish na, yung ginawa nyo na, yung na-process na. Canaanites worshipped idols and they did so on altars of finished stones. Pagan altars were built with costly items and built high enough to be shown off. Ang sabi ng Diyos sa Israel, you should build me an altar out of the earth. Lupa lang or bato lang, pag patong-patongin niyo lang. He did not want them to be distracted from the heart of worship. If an ornate, costly altar was built, one might be tempted to worship the beauty of the altar. Tama? The altar is to be simple, just stones fitted together into a waist-high rectangular shape upon which wood would be laid and sacrifice would be offered. I hope you're getting this. I hope God is showing you the implications and applications for us today. Listen to John MacKay as he comments on this. An altar made from such costly and aesthetically pleasing stone would be a tribute not to God but to human craftsmanship. But it would be defiled from the Lord's point of view because it distracted attention from Him and His goodness. In our context, in our time, nothing in our corporate worship services should be done for show. Any aspect of our worship service that is for show is robbing glory from God. Now, again, I have nothing against having a modest, a clean, and nice worship hall. Hindi ko sinasabing dapat pangit. No, I'm saying there's a very thin line, napakanipis na linya with having a sense of awe, sense of worship, because we are in a big church. We are in a beautiful church with nice structures, with nice fixtures. In reality, we're just truly in awe of the place. Could we still have that awe kung tayo nasa bahay kubo na pananalambahan? kung tayo ay nasa barong-barong, if we are in a cave. That's the point here, friends. That is the point here. And you know what? I thank the Lord that this truth is in Scripture. Andito siya. Nababasa natin. God should be the focus of worship. Not a building, not music, not a show, not lighting, not even the leader. Without mentioning names, it's so sad when people go to this church or worship at this center or at worship hall and saying, oh, ang sarap doon kasi ang ganda ng building. Don't get me wrong. If God would bless us with a nice building, with a nice structure, with nice sanctuary, that's good. And He did. He has blessed us with a nice structure. But the point is this. How many of our people go to our worship centers really worshiping God? Really worshiping God. Again, I have nothing against making our place of worship nice and clean and presentable. But to make it aesthetically, if we focus on the aesthetics, then that means we are focused at the aesthetics. God delights in the praise of His people. As they gather in a big building, in a small building, in a simple, modest building, or as they gather in a bahay kubo, in a mud hut. Impressive structures should never capture our hearts and take us away from the object of worship, the one true God. Sadly, nowadays, that is not the case. In fact, it breaks my heart to see churches investing in fog machines, smoke machines, and disco lights or laser lights. What is that for? Again, I have nothing against making our place of worship nice. But if that takes away from our focus, if it robs God of His glory, and it's not just the structure. If when we sing, if when we go go in front as we lead worship, as we preach, in fact, as we pray, in our hearts, focus is to show off. No, that would not be pleasing to God. As we see here, there's a principle of simplicity because God wants His glory to be magnified, His glory to be embraced by His people. Now, what else can we see? As we see and look at concepts of worship. Look at verse 26. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed on it. Ano yung sabihin nito? Huwag daw umakyat sa mga steps, at sabi, wag, para hindi makita yung kahubaran. Some would right away say, oh, this is talking about spiritual nakedness. Forgetting that this can be a literal, and there might be a context behind the literal interpretation of this text, and there is. Yung pag-worship ng mga Canaanites, their worship are often obscene. Their worship involves nudity. No, marami nakahubad. In fact, may mga temple prostitutes. They involve orgies. Remember in the battle between Yahweh and Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18 yata yon, wherein we see Elijah against the priests of Baal. Ano ginagawa ng mga pari ni Baal, di ba? They were going around naked. They were cutting and slicing themselves up with a blade, calling the attention of Baal. God wants worship of Him to be pure. God provided instructions for purity. God told His people to avoid going up steps in order to preserve their modesty. Again, context, yung altars ng mga pagano may matataas na steps, ornate at aesthetically built yung kanilang altars to show off, and then people, particularly their leaders, would go up naked. Sabi ng Diyos, don't do that. You are to preserve your modesty. In fact, later on, we would see that God would give instructions for the priest to wear robes, to wear linen undergarments, to avoid exposing themselves. You see, in our context, God still expects purity from His people. Purity from His people. When we worship, noong unang panahon, 8 months ago sa sanctuary natin, or right now, as we worship, as we are gathered through social media and YouTube and internet, as you worship in the comforts of your home, do we have impure thoughts? Do we have impure deeds that we harbor in our hearts? I pray that we would see the far-reaching implication of this. We dare not approach a holy God with unclean hands, with lives not worthy to approach the throne of grace. I pray na sana po naiintindihan natin na hindi na tutuwa ang Diyos sa pananambahang alam niya na may maling pamumuhay ang sumasamba sa Kanya. Again, what did we see with regards to the worship of God? As He reiterated after giving the comments that He should be worshiped and not idols, there should be simplicity, right? Because He understands that the frail heart tends to have the desire to show off His craftsmanship. There should be purity. Going to Him with pure thoughts, pure hearts, and pure minds. Tignan niyo yung verse 24 ulit. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. What do we see here? There's a principle of locality. May isang lugar lang. May lugar siyang pinapatungkulan. These verses also teach na napaka-importante. Sabi ng Diyos, I will come to you and bless you. Saan? In every place where I cause my name to be remembered. That means, hindi nila kailangan pumunta ng Sinai. Bumalik ng Sinai for them to worship God. There would be other places to meet God. Kung saan niya gustong i-meet tayo. I-meet ang kanyang mga hinirang. Later on, we would see the tabernacle. We would see later on the temple. They would worship there. We understand that through the Holy Spirit, God can be worshipped all over the world. Jesus told the woman, alam niyo, John chapter 4, yung Samaritan woman, ang sabi ng Samaritan woman, oh, you, the Jews, you worship in Jerusalem, but while we, Samaritans, we worship here on this mountain, Mount Gerizim. What did Jesus say? That worship was not about a location, but about worshiping the living God in spirit and in truth. In spirit, meaning with our whole faculties, mind, heart, and soul, driven by the truth. Driven by the truth. We do not need to make a pilgrimage anymore to a certain place to worship God. We come now, wherever we are, kahit nga sa ating mga online na virtual na worship. We come through Christ, our new temple by the Spirit to meet our loving Father. Whether we are offering corporate worship or just like our devotions, right? We know that God is with us. What did we see? Principles of simplicity, principle of purity, principle of locality. Now we see the principle of sacrifice. Look at verse 24 again. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. The most important thing about the altar was what happened on the altar. That is why God desires for the altar to be simple, made out of earth, made out of stones. Because that is not the most important thing. What's important is what takes place on the altar. It's a place for making sacrifice for sin. In this verse, we see two kinds of offering mentioned here. Burnt offering. We would see that later on as we study Leviticus. It's in Leviticus chapter 1. The burnt offering was an offering of atonement for sin. Pag nagbigay ng burnt offering, they will offer a perfect, unblemished animal. They will place it on the altar. It will be consumed with fire. Matutupok yung buong animal. Magiging abo yun. And it should be consumed. Everything should be consumed. Yung second type of offering was a fellowship or peace offering. We can see that in Leviticus chapter 3. It also dealt with sin, pero on a different emphasis. May iba siyang emphasis. Kung yung burnt offering ay consumed at magiging abo, itong peace offering or fellowship offering symbolizes giving thanks to God. And they symbolize the fellowship one had with God. In recognition of God's reconciliation with people, the offering is not consumed with fire. Hindi siya tinutupok lahat. May tinitira at yun ang kakainin ng mga tao in the presence of God, depicting that they have the fellowship, that they have been reconciled to God. Even after giving the law, God knew that His people would need forgiveness over and over again. Eh, alam natin, ang mga sacrifices na to actually points to Jesus Christ, the once for all sacrifice of Jesus. He paid the penalty of our sins by being slaughtered. His sacrifice pleased and appeased God's wrath. And now, we are reconciled to God. Si Kristo ang ating burnt offering, si Kristo ang ating peace or fellowship offering. In fact, the author of Hebrews referred to Jesus as our altar. Ang ganda, di ba? Si Kristo ang ating altar. At sabi kayo na, your altar should be simple. Your altar should be made out of stone. And what do we find in the life of Jesus Christ? Simplicity, modesty, purity. And yet, on this altar as well, Jesus being the altar, was offered Jesus Himself as the atonement for our sins and as the peace offering that reconciled us to God. Ganda, di ba? What did we learn? God has given His people the Ten Commandments. He spoke to them directly. He wrote it with His hands. But yet there are so many things that He still wants to share and wants to command to His people. Thus, we see Him speaking to Moses so that Moses would then speak to His people. Moses was the one writing this down. And the first thing that we see is worship. Concerning worship. God does not want His people to worship pagan idols. And God does not want His people to worship like the pagans. He wants His glory to be displayed. Thus we see Him giving instructions with regards to the altar to be simple. We see that there should be a sacrifice. There should be purity. You should not according to the text we're looking at, you should not be showing your nakedness. There should not be obscene or unpure thoughts or deeds in our lives as we approach God. There's a principle of locality. It doesn't matter where you are, as long as you are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And we see a concept of sacrifice. Jesus is the altar. He is the burnt offering consumed and absorbed the wrath of God. He was also the fellowship and peace offering given. And we now are partakers of that offering as we are reconciled to the Father. Therefore, what should we do? What should be our takeaway? Let me take you to two passages. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. We read, through Him, that means Jesus, through Him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. What can we offer? Sacrifice of praise. When was the last time you praised the Lord? Oftentimes we ask, how's your prayer life? How's your praise life? How's your praise life? That is our offering to God as we worship Him. Let's go on. And marami pang pwede gusto sabihin yung writer ng Hebrews. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. We see a sacrifice of praise. We see a sacrifice of good works. How's your life lived out in this pandemic? Can people see your good works so that they would praise the Father who is in heaven? Wonderful, wonderful truth. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. I appeal to you, says Paul, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, living, not compared to the Old Testament sacrifice that they were offering, dead sacrifice, living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. How is your praise life? How is your doing good works? How is your body life as a living sacrifice? Diba? Again, God wants His people to worship Him. And He gave instructions as to how we worship Him. We saw how it applied to them, and we saw the implications in our time. When we worship God, the most important thing is to remember Jesus, His person, and His finished work. Apart from Him, we cannot worship. Apart from Him, we cannot know God. And I pray, as we end this study, looking at the implications of the 10 words, the 10 words in action, we were confronted with what worship should be about. Kamusta ang worship life natin? Kayo lang po makasagot niyan. I pray that those who have ears have truly listened, and I pray that those who have ears, who has heard God's word, would heed the call to worship Him. Worship Him alone. Offer the utmost praise to the glory and praise of His name, not grabbing any glory for ourselves, but because we are not worthy, only Him is worthy. And we ought to be living lives pure and holy, because that is what He wants for His people as we worship Him. And may we be a living sacrifice, known for our sacrifice of praise, known for our sacrifice of good works. Pray tayo. Lord, we thank You for teaching us. We thank You for preaching to our hearts. And we pray that we would live out all these truths, Lord, para po ma Papurihan namin kayo. We are humbled, Lord, with what you have taught us tonight. And we pray, Lord, na ibalik niyo po kami next week sa ayon pong pag-aaral muli ng the implications of your wonderful, glorious commandments. Maraming salamat sa pangalan mo, Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining me. I'll see you all next week. God bless.